from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today on the show. We provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other places where you can find podcasts. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, it was an off day yesterday for the San Francisco Giants as they get set to take on the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Tyler Beede will be on the mound making his season debut after he totally transformed himself in the offseason, had a stellar spring, had a stellar start to the year in AAA when numbers were bad across the board for pitchers at the start of the AAA season because they've started using the major league ball and it led to some decreased results. But Beede was just totally dominant. And so this is a big deal that he is making this start. Look for potentially him to do well. And if he does, he could stick in the rotation and be one of the bright spots of the season. So no pressure, but yeah, it could be a big deal that he's getting the start tonight. But on today's show, since the Giants were off yesterday and we don't have a game to discuss, it seemed like a good time to take a pause now that 31 games are in the books and look at some numbers for the San Francisco Giants as they stand about 20% of the way through the season. So the first thing that stands out, of course, is the fact that they have been dreadful offensively. And so one of the first things that comes to mind for me was this little article that came out on Twitter yesterday. It was kind of teasing the Alex Pavlovich podcast in which he had Farhan Zaidi as a guest on the show. And in the headline on Twitter, it was saying something to the effect of Farhan Zaidi a little bit surprised, and that was in quotes, by the extent of the Giants' offensive struggles. And predictably, the comments in response to this article were extremely negative, and people were essentially saying, I could have seen this horrible offensive start coming. How could he not have seen this coming? And there were some calls for him to be fired. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And that's what you get on Twitter, unfortunately, more often than not. Everyone has a voice, and as Brian Sabian once famously said, the lunatic fringe have a voice as well. Now, the reason I bring that up is because those comments are 100% justifiable. And what he meant when he says he's a little bit surprised by the extent of their struggles is that when you take their pitchers out of the equations, which you absolutely need to do if you're talking about offensive stats, especially when comparing them to American League teams, you can't be letting the pitcher skew your data like that. And really, you can't compare National League teams to American League teams because, in theory, the American League teams have a DH that should be one of their strongest hitters, and the National League doesn't even get that player at all. And so if you're failing to take pitchers out of the equation, then you're totally skewing the data because the American League has one of their strongest hitters and you have one of your weakest hitters, and you're factoring both of that in. So you just cannot cross compare like that. But on FanGraphs, they have a very nifty feature where you can just hit this NP button when looking through some stats and it takes pitchers out. NP standing for non-pitcher. So anyway, the Giants collectively have been 41% below average offensively compared to the rest of Major League Baseball offenses, pitchers excluded. Since 2000, the worst team in baseball offensively, non-pitchers, was the 2013 Marlins, who were 21% below average offensively. And that's for an entire season. And we're talking about the worst team in 20 years. So again, the Giants right now are 41% below average collectively. With that in mind, it's 100% justifiable to be a little bit surprised by the extent of their offensive struggles. Simply put, they are not going to sustain this level of relative incompetence for the entire season. It's even the Giants in 2017 and 18 combined, when they really didn't hit either, they were only like 13% below average. So 41% below average is just a level of incompetence that is not sustainable over the course of 162 games, unless you're talking about just all-time historic meltdowns that we just really shouldn't have any reason to expect. If we look at some specific Giants offensive players, we see all kinds of reasons to expect positive regression. Buster Posey is an interesting case. We've talked a lot about him on the show, obviously, but he has really been improving. The swings have been better. The contact has been better. The power has been better. It's just that it doesn't really show up because the batting average has been suppressed, and that can kind of be explained by a low average on balls in play compared to his career averages. So when that jumps up a little bit, you're going to see the slugging back up over 400, which is not great. But if he's an average offensive player with the elite defense that he provides, he's a very valuable player for the Giants. Joe Panik has been 50% below average, which is just well, well below his career averages and well below what we should expect. Someone was trying to argue with me that looking at a player's like career numbers is always a mistake and that it's crazy to do that. And he hasn't hit this year and he didn't hit last year. Well, looking at 1 month of a season and reading too much into it is actually the mistake to make. Teams often look at the last 3 years for a player. And so we can look at the last three calendar years for a lot of these guys. And the numbers are just going to be much better than what they've been so far this season. It's absolutely crazy to try to make conclusive statements about baseball players after 1 month of a season. You just can't do it. Yonhervis Solarte has been 40% below average. Evan Longoria has been 40% below average. Gerardo Parra has been 50% below average. And Brandon Crawford has been 65% below average. So there's just absolutely no reason to expect that those numbers are going to continue to be that bad. And then looking back at last year through 31 games, someone like Nick Hundley was performing at a rate of 60% above average. He ended the year 10% below average, which, not surprisingly, was right in line with his career numbers. Brandon Crawford was really, really struggling, just like he is now, and ended up only about 10% below average. So anyway, that was the long version as to why you can just pretty much bank on the Giants' offense being much better than it's been so far this season, the rest of the season. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya. With their personally curated playlists and new features every day, download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to review the Giants' pitching and defense thus far this season. It's a much brighter story than the bleak offensive woes we just talked about in the first segment, so you're not going to want to miss that, but first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to run through the Giants' pitching and defense numbers right now, about 20% of the way through the 2019 season. So collectively, they still rate as the top defensive team in baseball, but it's much closer than it was early on in the season. They actually are not first in defensive runs saved anymore. They're second to the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Diamondbacks and Cardinals are right on their heels. But in terms of just pure defensive value, they still rank as number one. So specifically, as I said, Buster Posey is ranking as the top defensive player in MLB right now. He's been extremely valuable at catcher. Brandon Crawford has been very good as well. Joe Panik. Steven Duggar in center field still ranks as one of the top defensive center fielders in MLB, despite the fact that he barely played at all there this season. Because once Kevin Pillar was acquired, Pillar took over center field. But Pillar has actually not rated that well by some of these more advanced defensive metrics. He has -2 defensive runs saved, -9.6 UZR 150, and an overall defensive value of about a run below average for his position. Steven Duggar, by comparison, only played 52 innings in center field compared to 224 for Pillar, and he was almost 2 runs above average defensively, 5 defensive runs saved. So I'm not entirely sure why they decided to put Pillar in center and Duggar in right. I do think early on in the season, we saw Steven Duggar making highlight reel plays and robbing people of extra bases and hits all the time in center field. And it does seem like we've seen a lot less of that from him in right field. But they may have their own evaluations that say that right field at Oracle Park is just as important, if not more important, than center. I don't really know. But kind of sad to see Steven Duggar not being able to take full advantage of his ability and play center field. So pitching-wise, overall, the Giants have kind of been right in the middle of the pack in the National League overall, and that is skewed by the fact that their starting pitching has not been as strong as their bullpen. So the starting pitching in terms of just Fangraphs wins above replacement has been 13th out of 15 teams in the National League. They have a 4.03 ERA with peripherals that essentially back that up. But looking at some of the specific performers in the starting rotation, the real positive sign has been Madison Bumgarner, especially in his last start, was extremely strong, and he has been a solid performer for the Giants, and that is very good to see. There was an article on MLB.com this morning about polling a bunch of executives around baseball, asking them who the biggest name likely to be traded by the deadline would be, and there were 16 votes for Madison Bumgarner, and nobody else received more than one vote. So around the league, within the front offices of these teams, it is strongly believed that he will be dealt prior to the deadline. One executive said they will probably make the trade by the 4th of July. Somebody else said they expect the Giants to do the same thing that the Yankees did with Aroldis Chapman, which is trade him at the deadline and then attempt to bring him back as a free agent after the season. The article says one NL decision maker believes the Giants will have little trouble moving him for a solid return. So that is all good to see. It would be very weird to see him in a different uniform, and it would be very, you know, hopefully he would be happy wherever he goes. But based on this and based on what I've seen and just the general obvious logic of it all, it seems like he's extremely likely to be dealt at some point in the next couple of months. They have received in their rotation some disappointing performances thus far from Derek Rodriguez, Drew Pomeranz, and Derek Holland, but again, Tyler Beede coming in to make the start tonight could make all the difference in the world, and it will be very interesting to see what happens there. So the bullpen is a totally different story. They rank second in the National League in Fangraphs WAR. They're right at the top in all of the run prevention stats, ERA, fielding independent pitching, expected fielding independent pitching. They are indeed first in all of those categories. They're actually tied with the Reds for first in ERA with the bullpen, which is surprising. It's something you wouldn't think about the Reds, but their pitching has been phenomenal, and they've actually, we talk about run differential a lot, which is just runs scored minus runs allowed. The Reds have actually been very good in terms of run differential and have an expected win-loss record much better than their current record. So don't be surprised to see the Reds play well in this series. They're much better than their actual record. The Giants bullpen is walking less batters than any other team. They're preventing home runs very well. Reyes Maranta has been excellent. Will Smith has been really solid. Trevor Gott has been like an out-of-nowhere guy to be extremely good and efficient and is able to pitch multiple innings at a time and works fast and has just been a great find by Farhan Zaidi and the Giants. Sam Dyson has been really solid. Nick Vincent has been good. Mark Melancon has had a really nice bounce-back season thus far. Tony Watson, there have been some question marks, and there's his alarming decrease in strikeout rate, but he's still been decent, although I do think using him as just the eighth inning guy, quote-unquote, might come back to bite them at some point because he's looked a little bit shaky, and they just continue to run him out there every eighth inning where they have a small lead. And I think lastly, we saw some really good things early on from Travis Bergen, and he's just trying to work his way back from one really rough outing. So anyway, if you add it all up, the Giants are 13-18 with a minus 25 run differential that suggests they should probably be 12-19. A lot of that has to do with some recent blowout losses. The Giants are in Cincinnati for a four-game series. We will be back with a new episode on Monday. The episode will probably come out after the start of the game on Monday. It's a really weird 9 a.m. Pacific time start, and these episodes are coming out daily at 11:30 a.m. That's kind of a new thing, that it's going to be the same time every day, 11:30 a.m., Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. Please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone, and until then, we'll see you next time.